Then the first time I had the chance to meet His Holiness the Dalai Lama personally, privately, I think I was about Eden's age. It's an old story, but I was with my mother, who was very ill, terminally ill at the time. We went to see him in his home, and then we had introductions, and she embarrassed me by offering him a crucifix, which he seemed to really enjoy. And then the first thing he said, he turned to me and he said, "Well, did you ever take drugs?" And I'm sitting with my mom, who doesn't know I ever took drugs. And I didn't take a lot of drugs. I took two or three times to see what it was like. But it was nearby here in a canyon, very beautiful canyon. It has water and caves. You can stay there for a long time. It's called Sycamore Canyon, okay? You can find it. It's hard to find. And so me and some friends did mescaline, which is, I don't know. Is it peyote? I don't know. It's related to peyote. And, you know, I had a wonderful time, and I thought I heard angels singing and all kinds of beautiful visions. And then I told him that. But the striking thing about it was I was totally present. You know, like I was in the moment, and I didn't have any thoughts about the past or the future. I got terribly sunburned. We took off most of our clothes, but you don't think about it. You're just enjoying every single thing directly, you know, in the moment. And we talked about it. He and I talked about it, and then he said you should meditate because then you can get there anytime you want, and maybe you can stay there most of the day without the downside of taking a drug, you know. The first chapter, first line of the fourth chapter of the Yoga Sutra says the same thing. It talks about oshada, which means herbs. And so I tried that. I didn't need to take drugs after that. I never took them again. And so you have this capacity to be in the present moment, but that's only a tool, right? It's not a goal. It doesn't help to watch your breath indefinitely, because one day it'll just stop, and then you're stuck, right? So, or it doesn't help just to be here in the present moment. Sooner or later you're going to have to go to the bathroom or go get some Cheerios, or, you know, it's a tool. They are both tools. Watching your breath and being in the present moment are both tools. Then you turn those instruments, that you can call it a telescope or a microscope, but you turn the instrument to something higher. And then whatever you turn that instrument to will be burned into your consciousness and your subconsciousness. So it should be something important, okay? Like how to get a boyfriend, something like that. Okay, no, really. I mean, when I say that, I mean it should be trained, the instrument should be trained upon how do I alter my course of my life and my reality? How do I manifest a new career that's really exciting to me, or a new project, or a new idea, you know, like a Steve Jobs sort of mentality? How do I get that? And how am I going to help get solar panels to a million poor people, or something like that? Like, it should be trained upon. When you learn to meditate, then that skill should be turned upon the higher questions of life, right? Otherwise, it's just mescaline, okay? All right, here we go. So we were talking about before you get on the seat to teach, You should recite that verse from the Diamond Cutter Sutra. I am like a star. I am like, what do you call it? A cataract in the eye. I am like a candle burning down. I am like an illusion. I am like the morning dew melting in the sunlight. I am like a bubble which is about to pop. My life is like a dream. My life will pass like a lightning flash. My life will form and then dissipate like a cloud. This is the way of all things. And I'm no different. Then you snap your fingers. And then you get on the throne. Okay? Then you get up to teach. Mitakpe tsigdunte, recite these words of impermanence. Segul tok means snap your fingers. And then mitapa kechik, kechik ma yin yam. Those of you who know Tibetan, you have to be careful there, okay? It says kechik ma yin. You could read it as kechik ma yin, or you could read it as kechik ma yin. And it should be kechik ma yin. So in that case, the ma is not negative. It means I am something of a moment. I am momentary. I am something that lasts only a moment. Kechik ma yin. That's the definition of impermanence in philosophy. Say kechiki. Kechiki. Kenjiki. Kechik means instant. Kechiki kechiki means instant by instant. Kenjik means rising and dissolving by the instant. Kechiki kechiki kenjiki che. Okay. Mitakpetseni, definition of impermanence. Namdu Kengsem Silki Nunga. So you know Silki Numba, right? Yeah. It's like overwhelm somebody. Queen Elizabeth standing in a group of other lesser nobility, right? And she's like, she's got this aura of authority about her. But here we're trying to Silki Numba Kengsem. Keng means sort of arrogance or pride about being the teacher. Okay, Keng Sem Silky Noon. You have to suppress those thoughts of what do you call it? Pride or what's another word? What is it? It's like arrogance, but arrogance is kind of evil. It's conceited is good. Yeah, kind of conceit. Silky Nunga. They men chitum betendu duka tare rang apo ngayin yamdu. Say apo ngayin. I'm the man. You know, so otherwise you're going to get into this thing like I'm the man, you know. I'm really big thing, you know. I'm really hot stuff, okay. It's literally I'm the man. Po means man, mo means woman, right? Apo, I'm the man, you know. Chitum betendu duka. Ngagyal. Ngagyal means what? Pride. What do the pieces mean? I am king. Ngagyal. So the Tibetan word for pride is I king. Okay, Ngagyal. It can be a good thing in high spiritual practices where you identify with a deity or an angel. But at other times, when you're teaching, it's just conceited or, you know, arrogant. I'm better than all these people I'm teaching. Like that, okay? Like that. I'm somebody big. Kyeongsung. Tene du tsarchipe nga dumbar sungkyang. Chakshe su te du shirab ningbo dopa che ze. Tene du tsarchipe nga dumbar sungkyang. The oral tradition of our lineage is that after that, you should recite a mantra which prevents negative influences during the teaching. Okay, you could call it spirit influences, but we talked about it before. It's more like you're keeping a good diet, you're doing good yoga, you're eating like Anatole told you to eat, and then suddenly you get this thought, this wave of thought comes to your mind like, I need a box of chocolates, you know. And I read that they are good for your heart, and they are, you know. No, there's this whole justification comes along with it. In the moment, I mean, it only lasts like 5 minutes. You want to do something. You're doing good with your practice. You're self-controlled. You're having a good discipline. And then suddenly this wave comes to your mind with justification. With a justification, you know. This girl's pretty cute. She doesn't like her boyfriend that much. You know, she needs to be liberated, you know. And then this... And then, like, a day later, you're like, what did I do, you know? And so that's when you recite, there's a mantra you can recite that will prevent that kind of thought waves going through the teaching, during the teaching. Or another thought wave that goes through the teaching is like, you start thinking about tomorrow. It's very hard the day before you leave a spiritual time. Like, I used to go to the monastery a lot, right? It's very hard to concentrate up to the last moment without thinking about next week, right? So try, Dusar Chupa means, in the teaching, the teacher would do a mantra and that would block thoughts of the flight home or what you're doing next week, okay? It would block those influences. It's not like the demons are not big hairy monsters that eat you in your bed at night, right? It's not like that. They're just like, you know, it's only half a tube of Pringles left. And I can either eat them one by one or I can just finish them off now. And then they won't be there to tempt me all week. You know, and then, you know, and it just seems perfectly reasonable. You know, and so we have to cut. There's a mantra. He says, Kyang, but Chakshesu, in our current lineage, Te Dhudu means in substitution of that custom of reciting that particular mantra, we recite Shirab Ningbo, which is what? The Heart Sutra, okay? Ningbo means heart, the Heart Sutra. We, in our tradition, current tradition, we recite the Heart Sutra. Dokpa Che means, how do you say? Dokpa means a... You recite the Heart Sutra, and then you do a special short prayer, and you, the Lama will go like this, and Yidopa means like to repel negative influences. So there's a special verse that you can recite. There are three different dopas in current tradition. They're called Duk Sher Seng Sum. Duk means Duk Karpo, which means the, it's a tantra called the White Parasol. Okay, and then Shirab Ningbo is the Heart Sutra. And then Seng means Kandoma Senge Dombachen, which means a special lady angel who has the face of a lion. And we can learn them someday, okay? If you want, we can learn them someday. But you recite the Heart Sutra, then you do this Dokpa. And it repels the... And then people's minds concentrate during the teaching. Then the minute you open the teaching, everybody starts blabbing in the cafeteria. Okay, you'll experience that today. Okay. By the way, you should blab in the cafeteria. And when you leave here this morning, I want you to start collaborating with other. I want you to start making crazy plans with other people. You know, you come to Mexico City, I'll come to Bulgaria. You know, like that. Okay, like you should have these little plots going on, revolutionary cells forming. And I like that. It's fun. It's fun to make connections globally, you know. So I'm encouraging you to hit on somebody in a Dharma way and say, hey, let's go teach Lam Rim together somewhere. Or you come to my country, I'll come to your country. It's a lot of fun. Life should be fun. Right? You should do crazy, creative things. Don't worry about the money. Anatole and Andriana get everywhere in the world somehow. They don't have any money at all. You know? They just do it, you know? And they're in Paris 1 week, and they're in Beijing the next week. And if you really want to, you can figure it out. Yeah, okay. All right. Dene joe chudu tandur yandan chepate. This is a difficult thing. Let me see. Jorwe Chuduk means the six preliminary practices. they involve the preliminaries that we just did, okay? But they're a little bit more than that. And we're going to study them when we get there, okay? Tandur yang danchete means it's a custom to use a certain verses of poetry that are sung with a certain melody. Tandur means you could do it slow or you could do it fast. That would be a fast one, okay? Ta. Then door would be something like. You know, like, okay, and you go through it slow. Okay? We have to make Western melodies to those, okay? Those are a little hard. Okay. Chete, grepa sumbadi, jedub kamba gela gyatso, chakshayin. Then that custom began in the 1700s with a lama called gela gyatso. Chakshayin. Deyan jedub kamba chamba, larmim sunkap, jorchu dangyang rimbor sumbe, yunrin gorwar. Then there was a lama of our tradition named Dubkangba. I believe he was Pabongka's grandfather, Lama. Larmrim Sungkap, when he would teach the Larmrim, he would stretch out the preliminaries. He would do them really slow. You know, like, the whole sky is covered with flowers. You know, and he'd go on for like an hour, you know. I heard that about Lama Supa, that he gets on a flight, like from LA to New York, and they serve lunch. And then he starts his prayers over the lunch, you know. They serve lunch over in Nevada or something. And then they get over New Jersey and he's still doing his prayers, you know. And then I heard that the steward or stewardess would come and say, you know, we have to land now, you have to put your seat up. And he says, okay, take the food. He doesn't get to the food, you know. Okay, so I like that. Then his students got irritated, okay? They're like, could we have a little teaching already? You know, because you're spending the whole time in the teaching singing the preliminaries. Then gashi ki sungshe ki yun la nupe. Some people complained. Jorche dile dutsam zena. Then they use the honorific. Zena means, if Holy Lama were to respectfully abbreviate the offering verses slightly, you know, the class could go on. The holy teaching could go a little longer. Dila do something. Kechak chi sang, what the hell are you talking about? Whether or not the teaching goes well depends on how we do the preliminaries. Okay, ne de mindo. Dila raleba yinsune. Duar manang, he respectfully refused to shorten the preliminaries. Duar manang. As I was mentioning earlier, this is a different kind of class. It's not like an engineering class where you would hear about a theory of engineering and then go home and try to make something that embodied what you learned in the class, in a Larmrim class. And by the way, there's a time for that also, right? That's a different kind of teaching. But a Larmrim class is a different style of class. During the class, you try to have a breakthrough. You don't collect the information and go home and sit down and have a breakthrough. Okay? You try to have a breakthrough during the class, which means that you have to apply the ideas being talked about to your own self immediately during the class. Okay, the Lama talks about jealousy. The minute the Lama starts talking about jealousy, you start scanning your heart for jealousy and try to use whatever methods he mentions or she mentions immediately on your own heart. Okay, so ideally, he says, as I mentioned before, you would be having breakthroughs here in the class. This is very interesting. To have a breakthrough requires sok sak and dip jang. Say sok, sak, dip, jang. Tsoksat. Dipchang. Tsoksat means pull together some heavy good karma quickly. Pull together some heavy good karma quickly. Tsoksat. Dipchang means purify some heavy bad karma quickly. Okay? So the idea is, could you tsoksak and dipchang in the class before you start the teaching? You see? Could you do some heavy good karma collection and remove some bad seeds after you sit down and before the teacher starts teaching the subject? And we did that already today, okay? The bowing down to your lama, making a gift, that's tsoksak. Thinking about the something negative you did in last week, that's dipchang. Then enjoying what you've done good this week, enjoying what someone else did good this week, that's going back to tsoksak. Then thinking about what you'd like to be, asking your teacher to teach you, asking your teacher to stay, that's tsoksak. So in those preliminaries to meditation, we're covering tsoksak and dipchang. Then those should be done before you do something important, okay? If you're gonna have a big business meeting or you're gonna meditate or you're gonna have a class, then you should do a quick tsoksak dipchang, okay? Jomala, kiwala tsoksak dipchang dang sundap sokla raglupe chedu gomba yimbe. Sundap means asking your teacher for help, even just mentally, in your mind. You send your teacher a message, you know, help me during this class. I want to have a breakthrough during the class. Because I know once I get on the plane that notebook's going to go on the shelf and start preventing dust from dirtying the shelf. Okay? You know, and I know that. I know I'm not going to have time. I'm going to hit Guelph, Canada, and, you know, mom's going to want me to come over and she's going to cook me a big spaghetti dinner and I'm going to have to clean all the dishes and there's just not going to be time, and I know that. I know how it's going to go. So let me have a breakthrough now that I can take home with me. Okay. So you asking is a heavy good karma. Asking your teacher, help me have a breakthrough in this class before this class lets out. The preliminary practices were designed to help you have a breakthrough. Okay. Chedu gomba means they were purposely designed. Yimbe. Jorju ki kap kayang migyang yunguk misupa. Then he says, don't do the following while Geshe-la is going through the preliminaries before the meditation. Kayang means your mouth gets distracted, which means you start whispering to your neighbor or something like that. Okay. Migyang means your eyes get distracted. The lama's going through the preliminaries and your eyes are wandering around the room. Yesterday in yoga class, our teacher told us, you know, why don't we keep your eyes on your mat today? You know, I had teachers tell me that in yoga. They said, Geshe-la, everybody else is doing okay. You don't have to support them with your eyes, you know. And you just concentrate on your yoga. Megyan, yungguk means like killing time, you know, like, when's he going to finish the preliminaries already, you know. Okay, yungguk. Misupa means like, you know, I really wish you'd get on to something new and exciting and not keep going over the same preliminaries. Okay, misupa. So, michepa, don't be like that. Chutan di ringi mikor ki nyamnong chudal di rang na kiewe chudu sakchang. I want to have a breakthrough on the subject that's being taught today in the class. Mikor ki nyamnong. I want to have a personal spiritual realization. Like, what do you call it? I want to have an epiphany sitting right here in the class. In order to do that, I have to sakchang. I have to collect some good karma, even in the class. And I have to clean some negativities even in the class. Okay? You can't think about your last partner and be angry at them and have a breakthrough in the class. Really, you have to clean it before the class starts. Clean whatever heartbreak or anger you have, and then get down to the class, and you can have a spiritual breakthrough there. If you carry the bitterness into the class, it'll poison the class and you won't have a breakthrough. Okay? You have to leave it all at the door and then come into the class clean. And then you're open and you're ready to have a breakthrough. Okay? Very important. Dene mandal dubne chakpe ula tukne kulong chupa. So then there's a custom, we do the mandala, which we forgot to do today. Sashibuki jushin, right? What is this thing? I mean, this thing here in the middle is Mount Meru. So in the geography of ancient times, there was a central mountain, an axis of the world, right? What do they call that in Yoga Sutra? The axis thing. The pole star. Dhruva. It's called Dhruva, okay? There's a central... The world doesn't form around a molten core of magnetic junk. The world forms around a big pole, like a central mountain. That's called Sumeru, or Mount Meru. So when you do this, this is the central mountain. Then these four places where the fingers cross, where the thumbs are holding and the first fingers are holding, these are the four great continents of that, of ancient geography, cosmology. Okay, there are, in each direction there are four continents. When we did the mandalas yesterday, which Rosa and her crew did so beautifully, then they each had their own color and their own direction, and that was represented in the sun mandala, right? So when you offer this thing before the class, you're offering all the beautiful things in the world. You're saying all the birds who are flying right now and singing, all the sound of the waves crashing on the beach, you know, all the mothers who are kissing their children right now. You can make it really beautiful. It's really beautiful. And then you say, I offer that as payment for the class. You know, that's a mandala. Mandala also implies that you think of the world as enlightened already, and then you offer that for the class. Okay. Mandal dubne chakpe ula tukne. Then there's a custom to take the scripture. The colloquial word for scripture is pecha, which sort of means an impression, okay, of a print, right? Pecha. And then you're supposed to touch it to your head, okay? Like, I heard Edgar Cayce used to sleep with a book under his head, and then in the morning he would remember it all or something. Maybe it's like that, you know. You're hoping something will happen, okay? So you and in Asia, when you put your head below something else, it means I respect it. Like you touch your head to someone's foot, it means I respect you, okay? Then the honorific of Pecha is Chakpe. Chakpe means the holy scripture, the honorable scripture, Chakpe. There are two or three languages in Tibet, and one is used for high lamas, honorific. Then there's an epistolary language. There's a different language for writing correspondence. And then there's a colloquial language. And then there's a scriptural language. So it's kinda gets complicated. Kunlong Chupa. Fix your motivation, set your motivation. Touch the book to your head and say, I will teach, I want to help the people in the room. Keep going back to that as you teach, okay? Keep going back to that. Is this thing helping the students right now? Lama asked me the other day, what are you doing with your girlfriend right now? Girlfriend means this thing. He said, what are you doing with your girlfriend right now? I said, I'm studying for the class I'm going to teach. And she's like, what are you on right now at this moment? I said, the eight Buddhas. The eight Buddhas of Menla, of the Buddha, Medicine Buddha, which comes later. Okay, I'm on the eight Buddhas of Medicine Buddha. Who are they? You know, and I said, I looked them up. They're blah, 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 you know. And then, is that going to help your students to know the eight Buddhas' names? Yeah, like, I don't know. Probably not. I mean, most people in Tibet never know their names, and it's okay. You know, something like that. So keep checking back with your mind. Is what I'm saying helping their life? And if not, go on to something else, okay? Mandal dubne chape ula dubne kunlucha. Gyula pembe tugman zepa diyang. Make a prayer at that moment that the teaching you're about to give will also affect your own heart. Zepadian Jedu Kamba Chamba Chak Bayam Usha Sharela Kapte. Then he mentions the same Lama, Jedu Kangba, and he says he would either touch the scripture to his head or he would take, okay, so this is a Geshe hat, all right? This thing cost you 25 years of pain. It's all you get. You don't normally get, nowadays they give a degree, but that's just a Western thing, right? So that's a, you know, people die for one of these things. And so anyway, then it was a custom to, then at Lama, normally in Tibet, they would wear it, right? They would put it on, right? And they would teach with the whole class like that. But before the class, they would take it off and they would, so you'll see a high, like if maybe His Holiness would do it sometimes, and they'll cover their face with the hat, and then they'll do a prayer at that moment. So they kind of, it's like a kid putting themselves in a closet, and you know, and they're like, okay, Geshe-la, you're about to teach a class. Yeah. Okay. We're going to teach something that helps them or something that makes you look good? I don't know. And then, you know, and then you have to like, just say, okay, I'll teach something that helps them, you know, okay? Like that. And then you're supposed to put it on, okay? This one's too small. All right. I have a bigger head than most of them. Kapte. Tumen zepe chakshe tayin. Then make a prayer that you will give a teaching that will help them. Dene sangye chutsobme kap. Then you should recite Sangye Chotsogma. What's that? Sangye Chodan Tsoki Chona. Okay, there it is. Sangye Chotsogma. The name of the prayer is Sangye Chotsogma. Many prayers are named from their first few words. Okay, like, you call it, I pledge allegiance would be called I pledge ma. And you'd put ma on, and that means that the prayer that starts with I pledge ma. Okay, so Sangye Chodsogma means the prayer that starts with Sangye Chodan Tsoki Chonam. Okay, so Chokme. Kup. When you get to that prayer, Lame Daki Chujin. So how's it go? Sangye Chodan Tsoki Chonam. Chajipari Dani Kyansu. Daki. Then there's three versions of that prayer on the third line. Daki, you can say Daki. Daki Jinsok Gipe Sunamki. By the good karma of my following the six perfections, which begin with giving, okay? By the good karma of my following the six perfections, which begin with giving. Chut Jin Sok means giving and the rest. Then, but before a class, you change those two words to, if you're, he says, Lame should say, in our tradition we say, Chut, Chu She, by my explaining the Dharma, Daki Chu, Daki Chu, Daki Chu. He said you can also say Daki Chu Jin, by my giving the gift of the Dharma, Daki Chu Jin Gibe Sunam Ki. And then the student, Lo Me Daki Chun Yin, then the student should say different words, by my listening to the teaching, by the karma of my listening to the teaching. So when they get to the third line, the Lama is saying, by the good karma of my making a gift of the Dharma. And the student is saying, by the good karma of my listening to the Dharma. Okay. And that's why there's a little clash on the third line in a class. Before, and then students get all nervous, you know. That's not what the Lama said. What did the Lama say? And then, no, they're supposed to say something different. By my giving the gift of the Dharma. Dola Pancha Sangye Dubrishok. May I become a Buddha. Okay. The last line is the same for everybody. All right, to help all beings. Giba Kagyur. Kagyur Gopayan Daktayin. Then you should change the third line as appropriate. Daktayin means everybody knows that. Okay. Daktayin. Dene Lamrim Kang Nang Ki Tsishak Raptu Nin Tam Jay Dang. So say Tsipshak. Tsipshak. The spelling is Tsishak and the colloquial is Tsipshak. Because they pronounce the prefix letter of the second syllable. So Tsipshak is a custom in Tibet, and the Lama will call on one of the students in the class and say, give me the outline up to here. Oh, there were four parts. The first was we went over the biography of the teachers of the Lamrim, and then we got into how to study and how to listen to it, and then we got into how to respect the teaching, and then he recites back the traditional outline from memory. Okay, it's called Tsipchak. And that's kind of scary because the Lama can call on anybody, okay? And it's kind of like, let's see if you were listening, okay? They'll say, give me the outline and where are we now? That's called Tsipchak. And you have to sing it to the Lama. And then everybody sings it back to the person. It's a beautiful custom. And it's a lot of pressure for the Lama because you have to do, when you're like the abbot of Sera, Mei, you have to do Tsipchak with every class, 12 classes. You know, once a week. You have to, in your head, you have to have the outlines for 12, the seniors, juniors, sophomores, you know, 8th grade, 7th grade, 6th grade, 5th grade, 4th grade. And you have to say, you have to do Tsipchak with them once a week, you know. So it's a lot of pressure to be the abbot. You have to review the outline with them from memory. They recite it to you and you recite it back. That's called Tsipchak. Okay, and where every class is, physics, math, geography, you know, social studies, you have to recite the outline back to them. So it's best if you could do it every day. Every time you have a class, somebody would recite where we are in the outline. No. Daemin ninchik nin sum so kang nu tong. If you can't do that, then at least one of the better disciples should recite it every 2 or 3 days before the class, at the beginning of the class. Tsipchak nangwa tabma dukyang. If you're in a situation where you couldn't have a tsipchak, which is where we are, chakshe dita yin sheng epar sungga. You should at least tell the students that there is such a custom. Okay. There are separate texts of the outlines of the Lamrims, okay? There are separate things that you memorize. People memorize them. The sache, the outline for the Lamrim Chemu, is huge. It's like 25 pages, and then people memorize it. Because then you have a guidelines for your own meditation in your head. When you do a retreat, you have it all in your head. Oh, now I'm supposed to meditate about teacher. Now I'm supposed to meditate about how to study. Now I'm supposed to meditate about impermanence. Now I'm supposed to go on to the dependent origination. And now I'm going on to the 9 steps of shamatha. And it's all in your head. And then you don't need anything else. When you do a retreat, it's in your mind. Okay. Dene chu cheki chakya dan che. And then you should start with this thing. This is the mudra. Mudra means hand gesture. We did some last night, right? Each offering has its own hand gesture. And you give them. As you make the offering, you do the mudra. You do the hand gestures. And they train us in those mudras. So when you teach, you should start with the... This is the teaching mudra. This is the I'm going to pass on the Dharma. Mudra, okay, at your heart. Gyadan che. Sladan sla min sok sungwe tse. Gyajin sok sla lu mayan chun yamber duwe mupa che. Then when you get to the part in the preliminaries where they talk about, it's in the end of the Heart Sutra. At the end of the heart, the whole world of gods and men rejoiced, right? Then when you get to that part in the traditional preliminary text, which is called Kelsang Gulgen, a necklace for those of good fortune, meaning something beautiful to recite, which we'll study. You'll learn it. It's called Jorchu. These are the preliminary practices. That's the thing you sing before the class. We'll learn it. Okay. In the course of these 10 years, we'll learn it. When you get to the part about gods and men, you should think about the spirit beings in the room and in the forest around you. and deliver the teaching to them also. Okay, all right. Mupache, Lanam Sala Dugmi Sipe. These spirit beings, especially the more powerful ones, Shiva or Indra or Brahma or like that, worldly gods, they don't like to sit on the ground. Okay? Dugmi Sipa. So Parnang La Dene Nyen Chokpe Lame Nawa Jin. Then you have to mentally give them permission to sit higher than you. Because they'll be in the sky around you. It's kind of sweet, okay? So mentally you say, okay, you don't have to sit on the ground. I know it's uncomfortable for you guys. Then you can cluster around the teaching room. You can bump your head on the ceiling. That's okay. Or you can be on top of the roof. You can stay there. And you are higher than me, but that's okay. Because it's not comfortable for you to sit on the ground. Okay. Then he says, take these advices seriously. He's finishing up the physical details of how you should teach, you know, like all the stuff you should do before you start teaching. And he says, those who have taken upon themselves the burden, the heavy burden of the Mahayana, the greater way, trying to change the world, having a vision of a new world, of an enlightened world. Everybody has solar panels. Everybody understands how to get a boyfriend by helping lonely people. You see, a new world. Then those who have taken on that new vision, they should follow these customs because they reflect a respect for the subject matter. The subject matter could change this planet. And people would learn to obtain the things they want by giving them to someone else first. And then the planet would change. The whole behavior of the planet would change. Given the gravity of that undertaking, when you sit down, you should do all these things. Because that's a big thing to talk about. So you should honor the throne, and you should keep the, what do you call it? Decorum in the room and the etiquette. And you should insist on that as a teacher of this stuff. It's a kindness to force your students to show respect to the teaching, because it's something that could change the world. And they will be better for it later, okay? When you correct them, they will hate you. And they, in their mind, they might say, okay, Lama, but in their mind, they're like saying something bad, okay? And that will hit you. That wave will come at you. You know, you feel their emotion. And you have to be tough, because it's tough love, right? It will make them a better person. Correcting a student is unpleasant. But to not correct them is to hurt them. So then correct them wisely and kindly. You know, the moment after that, tell them you're the best student you ever had. You know, and make the correction a little gentler. You know, but don't let them misbehave. Don't let them be jealous of other students in the class. Don't let them misbehave in the class. Don't let them show disrespect in the class. If they show disrespect, ask them to leave the class. Okay? If you ask them to be silent for a week and they can't do it, then ask them to leave. Okay. And that's a kindness to them. And you have to get used to that. I'm not like that. I don't like to correct people because I don't like them to dislike me. You know? And then you're shortchanging them, right? You're hurting them. Correct them. Make them good people. And that requires some bad days with them. My Lama did it a lot, you know. He did so many things to me, and I'm glad for it, but only later. Okay, just like cleaning up a kitchen. Like, he had a rule: you couldn't have a single. In my home, when I was a kid, all the dishes and plates in the house were in the sink, in the dirty water, and when you needed a cup, you went and washed the one cup. And they just stayed there. And if you needed the one on the bottom, it was really gross. And then Rinpoche had this thing like, you cannot leave an unwashed cup in the house, anywhere. You know, you finish your tea, you stand up and you go wash the cup and you put it away. You know, and that took many years of tension between us. You know, like I would hide the cup under my bed, and you know, and he would look under the bed. You know, you got a cup down there, you know, and I'd say, really? You know, and you know, so. But I'm grateful for that. Now, you know, he worked us hard. He really worked us hard. Okay. And it's a, but so I think as a teacher you have to be willing to have the student dislike you at times in order to help them, okay? And that takes a lot of confidence in yourself and love for the person. It's hard to, you have to love them enough to have them dislike you. Okay, like that. All right, we have about 10 more minutes. I'm gonna do a little bit more. We're like on class 2 or something. We're supposed to be on class 10, but I don't know, I'm having a good time. Shipa yu kala shepa dam shepa kepani. This was category number 4, and it was who is it proper to teach and who is it not proper to teach, okay? There are people to whom it is not proper to teach these things, okay? Chir duale. Generally speaking, as a general rule, for deciding whether or not it's proper to teach somebody, the Vinaya, Dulwa, the teachings on vowed morality, monks or lay people, right? So it's wrong to translate Vinaya as rules for monks or something like that, because it's all vowed morality, okay? The teachings on vowed morality say, Masulwar Michao. Say Masulwar Michao. Don't teach unless they have requested you to teach. Okay? Don't impose your ideas on people. Don't grab people by the collar and sit them down and say, oh, I learned this thing and you have to learn it. Especially your partner who's at home who's not interested in Buddhism. Okay, like don't like, what do you call it? Impose your ideas on them. Okay? Let them come to whatever they're going to come to in their own way. Don't like try to lay a trip on people and force them to listen to what you learned. If they're interested, teach. If they ask you, teach. But the ancient Buddhist system is don't teach unless someone has actually requested you to teach. Okay? Michao. She sumbatar suwa matapar chedu mirung. It's improper to teach someone these ideas unless they've asked you. Mirungshin, suwa tapnayang dematak michepar. Even if they do ask you, don't agree right away. Okay? Matak michepar. Daki lepa michepe che minu. Say something like, I don't really understand that stuff that well, and I'm not sure I could teach it to you. Okay? Like, you have to kind of like, minu. Or, ketabe dagni chemba dundu daki jita she nu. You know, what could I tell a person as intelligent as you? Okay? Nu, she, ken kyung. That's not insincere, okay? That's not just words. You should mentally review your current condition of your soul and realize that for you to give a teaching on the pitfalls of jealousy would be kind of, what do you call it? What is that called? Hypocritical, okay? Somebody asked me, should I teach Geshe-la? I said, yes, we will both rise to new heights of hypocritism. you know, get up and tell people about removing their anger and jealousy and then get angry and jealous the next moment, you know. That's okay. Jitai Nishin Ken Kimundang. So you should, I mean, before you teach, you should review, you know, you should be aware of your own weaknesses. At least be aware of them, then teach, okay? Kenba Kingdom. Shengi Mabba Takne. Check what they need to know at that moment. What do they need at that time? What do they want in their life at that moment? And direct the teaching towards that, okay? Everybody has something they want. And that's why they came to Prescott, to brave the cold, you know? They wanted something. So try to be in touch with what they want before you speak. Mepa takne se takne se nururunwa ngena chepacha gopayente. If you see that the person is a worthy vessel, then teach them, okay? If it's appropriate to teach them, then teach them. Yente. Tengen zingi gyabu dole, the Samadhi Raja Sutra, the sutra on deep meditation says, Rabge daki malap she, tobmat sikte jupar cha. This is Lord Buddha talking about teaching. And he says, at the very beginning, Togmar means at the very beginning, say the following words. Rabge daki malapshe. I haven't studied extensively. Okay, somebody asks you, can you explain the Heart Sutra? Say, I know about the Heart Sutra, I've studied it some, but I'm not like the world's expert on the Heart Sutra. There are people who know better than me. Malapshe. Kyuni sheshin keyina, dagni chemba dunduni, daki jita shenushe. And I'm aware, this happens to me a lot. You know, I go to some country, Argentina comes to mind, I don't know why. But I go to some country, I'm supposed to be visiting teacher for a week, I'm supposed to enlighten them about something. They pick me up at the airport, they drive me to wherever we're gonna have the teaching, and the people who are driving are so kind, and so together, and so patient, and so free of jealousy, that it's embarrassing to me. You know, like, I'm supposed to teach you guys? You know, just the people who pick me up in the car are already, obviously, very sweet people, and free of many of the negativities that I have. Then you have to be aware of that, you know, as you teach, all right? Cheminu, Dharni Champa Dunini, how could I teach somebody like you? Think about that, okay, new. Kyuki deke jipacha means Lord Buddha said we should, that's how we should respond to a request for teaching. Okay, we should be honest, I'm not perfect. You know, I'll teach you. I heard from Geshe-la or I heard from somebody else. I got the Lama Rim teaching and I'll gladly pass it on to you. But I haven't been able to change my heart perfectly. You know, I still have a lot of faults. Might as well be up front at the beginning. They will notice your faults after a couple days anyway. Then you get some points for telling them ahead of time. Right? Okay. Means, however, there are exceptions. There are cases where even if a person doesn't express an act of interest, you should teach them. You should start talking about this stuff, okay? I don't know, your friend is having a crisis. Your friend, I don't, in China, a lot of ladies come, I guess it's a custom in China for the husband to abuse the wife. And then it's a custom not to talk about it. So then, you know, if you know a person, if they show up in class with a black eye, you know, and they say, I hit my head on the cupboard, you know, and then you're like, then you can, it's okay with, if even if they don't ask you, you can take them aside and say, here's some things you can do about this situation. Here's some Dharma advice about the situation. Here's what they say in the scripture about that. And give, and help them, okay, even if they don't ask you, all right? So certain conditions, it's okay. I can also think of a case where you know somebody would be turned on by it, but they don't know to ask, you know? Rinpoche would ask us, you know, you guys never give me, you never ask me to teach in an appropriate way. And then we were all like, Rinpoche, we don't know what to ask for. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know enough to ask you to teach. We don't even know the subjects that you should, that we would like to know, you know? So please just go ahead and teach us, you know, even if we don't ask. Okay, all right. And then the same scripture, which is what? Samadhi Raja, the king of meditation sutra, says, Kelte nuni shigir na sumatab kyang shepaja. Very important, okay? Say kelte nuni shigir na sumatab kyang shepaja. You are allowed to teach a person, even if they don't ask you to teach, if you know they would really benefit from it, or they would be a worthy vessel of that teaching. They would respect it, they would try it, it would help them. But they don't know enough to even ask you for it. Okay. Shepuja, okay to ask, okay to teach then. Shesung Bataro. Then there are some rules about the student's physical position. Here we go. Kunjugi Kyabar Dula. There are some, what do you call, etiquette, protocol things, he says, about teaching and not teaching. Dengde Mishepa. We're not allowed to teach a person who is standing up when we are sitting. If the teacher is sitting and the student is standing, the student should sit down. That's just tradition, okay? Of course there's exceptions, all right? You broke your leg going to the fire puja in the dark and the student has a back problem. You know, so it's okay. Nyawala dukte mishiba. We're not allowed to teach a person who's lying down, all right? Ten tumbo la mawa ne mishipa. We're not allowed to sit lower than the student and teach up to the student, okay? Then there are nishisa duk. There are 26 such situations mentioned in the Vinaya scriptures. There are 26 protocol situations that you should be aware of. We're out of time. I went to the Vinaya and got you the 26. Which is why we're not going to finish on time the whole class, because I keep doing that. And we'll go through the 26 together. I thought you'd like to know. These are actually monks' vows. These are vows that apply to monks. These are conditions under which we're not allowed to teach people. Okay, there are 26 of them. That's why monks have so many vows. But nuns have more because they're more naughty. Okay. No, it's 253 for monks and 364. It's like 110 more. All right. Namah Kuni.